Hey, everybody, it's the spectacle. This is our final segment of the week. And we're going to not really do an entertainment based piece, but we're going to lead with it. My co-host with me today is Melissa McKenzie. How are you, Melissa?
I'm awesome. How are you?
You are awesome. That's absolutely the truth. Not as awesome, although in this case, he's certainly functional and useful, is Bill Maher, who is a kind of funny comedian whose show often gets picked up by conservatives for reasons not of the fact that Maher is a conservative. He's a leftist, but Melissa and I agreed upon a good term for him, which is that he's a contrarian windsock. Mm-hmm. He will tell you which way the wind is blowing, and then he will come up with a way to piss off the people who are pushing the wind in the direction that it is. And in under all of that, Bill Maher talked about abortion in his last show. He had a couple of guests on. One of them was Piers Morgan. Another one was somebody who's a columnist for the Financial Times in Great Britain. They're talking about abortion. And Bill Maher actually said that he understands and respects the absolutist pro-life position on abortion, which is that it's murder. He said the problem is, well, not, he didn't say the problem is, but the problem is what Maher said. He says, I agree that it's murder. I just don't care. There's 8 billion people in the world. We won't miss you. This opens up sort of a discussion, at least for us, on whether we have reached sort of a singularity among these kind of cultural Marxist makers of the world now who control all these cultural institutions and are able to set the narratives within, you know, culture, politics, and economics, not just here in America, but all over the West, at least, that they're actually saying the quiet part out loud in so many respects now. And Maher's thing was one good example. Another really good one we talked about is this guy, Yuri Berliner from NPR, who writes this whole piece like, well, our listenership is declining largely because we only talk to leftists. And they suspended him for that because, hey, you're scaring the fish away. But, you know, they told him, you know, you're not allowed to say that. Nobody said he was wrong. You know, but the fact of the matter is this kind of ginned up really the largest stir surrounding anything NPR has done in years because of the fact that it's like so obviously a, you know, left-wing propaganda shop. And now, you know, one of their own is admitting that it's a left-wing propaganda shop. So let me throw it to you, Melissa. Like, do you think that this is a the sort of a beginning of a trend, leftists telling the truth about themselves, or are these kind of one-off incidents?
Well, I think that your point is that you made is the true one, which is that they have so much power now and it's so absolute and complete. And they got it through nefarious means by kind of lying. You know, safe, legal, and rare wasn't that long ago. That was Hillary Clinton, safe, legal, and rare. And some years ago, I went to a Netroots convention and reported from there, recorded Maisie Hirono and what's her name? The Focahontas was
Liz
there,
Warren.
Liz Warm. And they actually had the women who'd had an abortion stand up and gave them a standing ovation. I was so horrified by it that I mean, I sat down, I was waiting for the lightning to strike, you know, for God to just blast us right out of the place. And at the time I had all this on, it was dark. They brought the lights down when they did all of this. And so I only had audio. I had it on video too, but at the time you couldn't see anything. And I wrote about it. And then I was accused by leftists of lying about it. This was, you know, years ago. And then I produced the video, the audio tape. I had the whole thing on tape. And so they couldn't deny it. But at that time, it was still shameful enough. Netroots was fringe enough on the left that the fact that it was being said so boldly in this forum was embarrassing to the movement at large. It wasn't politically feasible. Well, now all bets are off. Now it's like, kill the baby all the way.
Doubt your abortion now.
You know, wear a shirt, wear a pink, you know, pussy hat, be, you know, out and proud about your abortions. You know, you'll have young girls talk about being happy to kill their babies, getting pregnant on purpose so they can abort the babies, you know, all this kind of histrionics and everything around it, and just disgusting. And then you have someone like Bill Maher say, and it kind of put his co-hosts on the spot, or his guests on the spot, and say, well, you know, it's murder. I'm just okay with it. Basically, right. I am a eugenicist. The people who are killing their babies, we really don't want them around. And we have enough people on the earth anyway. And so kill them, you know. And Piers Morgan's like, well, I don't know. That feels gross to say what the actual truth is right out loud. But that's the truth of it. I mean, I've had people say that straight to my face. Well, do we really want those people having babies? Do we, you know?
I mean, look, so, that's the birth of the abortion movement.
Right.
That's Margaret Sanger. That was her entire thing, is she wanted to scrub out the undesirables from the population.
Right.
And among those were like all of the people that the Germans ended up putting in the camps.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, they didn't have black people in Germany. They did in America. And Margaret Sanger went around to black churches and got black pastors to sign on to the abortion movement to kill their own people,
mm-hmm.
which give Margaret Sanger some credit, because that was an awfully persuasive woman, but she was evil. And
right.
the pro-abortion crowd, I don't know if Maher is an avatar for them at all. I think he's expressing what a lot of them will say behind closed doors. I don't know how comfortable they are with him saying it in public. But, like, you know, that is what motivates them. They are eugenicists. They always have been.
Right.
Okay. And now you've got a group of them where, you know, it's they've realized that they can monetize pathological personal behavior. Okay. So, you know, if you're pro-abortion, then you've got a whole host of men out there who don't want to be fathers, but do want to play the field. All right. And so they're basically telling them, hey, you know, we're going to remove the consequences from your behavior. And then, of course, you've got all of these women who, you know, would use abortion as birth control, and they're going to give them license for that. And ultimately, what you get out of that behavior, right, by eliminating the consequences for it and eliminating the motivation to behave better, you get Democrats. We talk all the time on this podcast about the D plus 37 number, which is what, you know, single women vote Democrat 37% more than they vote Republican. 68% of single women in 2022 voted Democrat. Okay. Well, making abortion available to everyone is how you make a whole lot of Democrats.
I mean, well, the thing is that abortion is declining, just, you know, per, you know, the numbers of abortion.
It was declining.
It was declining.
It's actually back up since Dobbs, which is paradoxical.
Is it back up since Dobbs?
Yes. Yes. In the last year, abortion has spiked something like 8%.
Mm.
It's happening in blue states. Okay. But it's even overriding the decline of abortion in red states, where they've made it illegal in most or all cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's like way up in blue states that overcompensates. So yeah.
Well, and it's,
I don't
a big,
know
and
that,
it's,
I think that may be like a dead cat bounce. Okay. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like in the last year it's up.
Well,
I think
the
overall trend may be correct that you're identifying.
Okay. So like Planned Parenthood, because it is a money-making machine more than anything else, and you know, a tax-grabbing money-making machine. They are also the number one provider of hormonal therapy to transgender people, which is neutering people, which is part and parcel of this whole eugenic thing, which is, and also the Malthusian idea that there's too many people, and that we need to kill people because of population, when in fact, you know, Elon Musk is actually right about this, that we don't have enough people and that we're about to have a huge population decline. And so you've got now they're just neutering people and children, and leftists overwhelmingly, like 90 something percent of this transgender movement is on the left. And we're seeing it overwhelmingly in Hollywood. Like we were, again, as far as this cultural rot goes, you have Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's kid, who seemed like a sweet, beautiful young girl, is now dressing as a boy, cut off her hair. I don't know if she's taking hormones or what's happening. Jennifer Lopez's daughter, I think it is also succumbed to this. And it goes on and on. And what are the chances that this is all happening only among these parents? You know, if this is a natural phenomenon and not some kind of trend.
It's a social contagion within Hollywood, okay? And within that, the, you know, sort of demographic circle in which Hollywood operates, sort of this elite, you know, leftist citizen of the world, faux sophisticated set. And they've now embraced this idea of transing their own kids,
right?
You know, as a lifestyle choice. You know, I mean, like, you know, the last couple of segments, we keep coming back, like, there are monsters among us.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, like, maybe that's what this whole segment is really about, is identifying, like, here are the monsters in our culture. Like, Bill Maher admits he's a monster,
he's
and
a
he's
monster.
Good with it. Right? Like, hey, I'm a monster, and on behalf of monsters, I want to say we're good with it. And Piers Morgan, who apparently is also a monster, but is not as comfortable with it, it's like, ooh, that's kind of harsh. I really wish he hadn't said that. It's like, well, guess what? There are proud monsters and there are not so proud monsters.
Right. There are, there's honest monsters. And then there's all the rest of them who want to be able to look in the mirror and go, I'm a good person.
That's right.
And then someone like Bill Maher saying, you know, well, I mean, it's murder. Let's be honest. I'm just okay with the murder. And everybody's like, oh, I don't want to think that, you know, you have these, all these women out there who've had abortions and they don't want to sit there and think about themselves as a murderer. Some of whom have felt the life within them. And, you know, like some women feel the spark the minute the sperm hits the egg, you know, every time, like they know that they're pregnant, you know? And so like a woman in that position knows that something changed immediately. And many, many women are in that case, in that category. And then they know that they've, especially if after they've had another baby, if they actually have one, then they know what they've done. Because it's not like this, the second pregnancy that they actually decided to keep is somehow, oh, now it's a baby and that one wasn't. No, the same process happened. And so you've got a whole culture desensitized from their own evil ways. And someone like Bill Maher says, well, you know, there's a concentration camp next door, but I'm okay with it, you know, because those people are undesirable and we really don't want them around. And so then everybody else is like, well, if I don't look and if I don't think about it, I'm not really seeing it. And if we don't talk about it, and that would be Piers Morgan. And that's the majority of people who sit there and go, I don't want to admit, you know, and the parents who are involved with this butchering of their children, you know, don't want to admit to themselves. They think they're the good guys. And and really they've painted themselves in the corner. My brother is telling me about a friend of his whose kid whose kid's best friend was going through this trans thing. And the guy was like, well, it's not like I can't have him over to the house. And then their own son was starting to have doubts and da 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 da. And my brother's like, too late now. You know, you let the fox into the hen house, and what are you going to say? No, you can't do this. Now you're going to, you know, you were all tolerant, whatever. And that's what the guy had done. He'd painted himself into a corner when, in fact, you know, and I've had this conversation with the various readers who've had their kids in like these toxic schools being taught. And I'm like, take your kid out. Well,
yeah.
they won't be able to go to an Ivy then. Well, I mean, are you, do you want to save the soul of your child? You know, my answer to a Jennifer Garner situation is, and she's probably in trouble because she can't, you know, or I, who knows where the problem is in this case, but her husband is married to a woman who's already made the choice that it's okay. And so what's going to happen? You know, there's going to be a big lawsuit if they sit there and go, take the child out of school, you know, take away all the social media, intensely work with the kid to reconnect with them on a deeply and profound level so that they don't feel that emptiness that they're feeling, which, by the way, is a normal developmental stage for a teenage girl to feel awkward, to feel that not comfortable in their body, to feel weird about it. And then you add the spotlight of your parents' profession and everybody's seeing you go through that awkward phase and just wanting out. And so then this is what these kids do. And
then you have the weak parents who don't provide ballast to them, which is clearly what's going on all over Hollywood with these people, where it's not actively being promoted.
Right.
Like, I don't, which one is it? Is it Scarlett Johansson who has the two adopted?
No, Charlize Theron.
She's got two adopted, like black kids. And she's turned but little boys, and she's turned them both trans.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Monster.
Yeah.
That's a monster. Okay. Yeah. That's somebody in a sane society. There would be government agents with guns showing up at that house to take those kids out of that environment before she utterly destroys them. But we don't have that kind of society. Let me tell you what kind of society we have. We spend taxpayer dollars funding Planned Parenthood so that it can murder children, okay, when it's not profiting off of neutering them, all right? And your tax dollars are being sent to this organization. And what money they don't spend on that stuff, they buy Democrat politicians with so that they can continue doing it and expand on it when the next awful thing comes. And we can't, we have a Republican majority in the House where the budget is supposed to start, and Planned Parenthood is still in that budget. You can't get a more pro-life speaker of the House than Mike Johnson, and it's a non-starter to get rid of Planned Parenthood's funding. And you want to tell me that we're in a position as a society that is sustainable, that is justifiable? Yeah. I mean, and you know, we've talked about this in the previous two segments this week. It's a theme, okay? There's a vast swath of people out there that cannot be made to be outraged by this because it's inconvenient to them in their personal lives. Or, you know, well, I don't want to say anything about this because I'll lose my corporate job or whatever it might be. Okay. They're plugged
well, and a lot of the cowardice is individual. You know, like I had an argument with a friend of mine on Twitter some years back, and she was talking about a friend of hers had a kid who was trans. And I said, no. I was like, no. And I'm saying this as a mother who's raised three children, okay? Boys and girls, understanding the developmental stages. The answer to this is no. No, you are not. And no, we are not going to indulge this. And no, if my friend said, well, my kid is trans. No, that child is not. And if I cared at all about the kid, I would be talking to the parents and saying, you are destroying your child's future. Do you really, really want to take away your child's sexual pleasure for the rest of its life, his or her life? You are ruining your child and their future. Why are you okay?
And you won't be thanked for it down the road, by the way.
Right. The thing
you
is,
you think you're currying favor with your kid when what your kid desperately needs is your leadership that you are refusing to show. And if you think that down the road, when that kid sifts through the detritus of the life that they could have had and didn't because you didn't freaking step up when you were needed as a parent, If you think that that kid's going to say, "Mom, Dad, I appreciate what you were doing," bullshit.
Right.
Okay. There is, and I don't think we talked about this in the podcast. You know, Kurt Schlichter writes these books, the Kelly Turnbull series, and they're all about an America that breaks up into kind of blue America and red America 15, 20 years from now. And, you know, they're kind of action novels about Kelly Turnbull is this guy from the red states that has to do these missions in the blue states, which are all Venezuelans.
Mm-hmm.
In one of them, you know, California basically collapses and the red states come in. One of the things that things have devolved into is, you know, they're like militias all over the place. And the weirdest one of these militias are like a bunch of people called are calling themselves the mutilated. And what they are is they're the trans kids who've grown up and are all mixed up and are absolutely full of rage and homicidal and have basically turned into a death squad going after the people who transed them, whether it was parents, doctors, social workers, all, and they're hunting them down and killing them. Okay. And you look at that and you say, "Oh, yeah, well, it's just a novel." I don't think that's just a novel. I think Kurt's right on that. Like, I think that there will be, like, you saw the Nashville shooter, right? Nobody's allowed to read the manifesto because it's too damn scary. Like, it's too damn scary for people to read that, because if they actually see the mentality of these people, okay, they'd shit their pants, all right?
Right.
But the more of these kids you make, you're not going to be able to hide from what you're making with these people who you took a like you said, a somewhat normal developmental stage, a phase that kids are going through, and you're going to permanently scar them based on that phase, all right? Thinking that you're doing a good thing, and when that person's 35 years old, okay, and all of their dreams have come apart because they've made themselves or they've been made into a freak, okay, and society is not going to continue to move along the lines of accepting these people because they're unstable, okay? You don't want to be around these people. The vast majority of them have issues that make it impossible to socialize among the society. And you saw that with the Nashville shooter. This is somebody who was so intensely miserable with their own life, okay, and tried to find an answer in this transgender crap and didn't, and was at the absolute end of her tether. And all she could do was go get a gun and shoot up the Christian school where she had been to. And this is the first of many such incidences, okay? There's plenty other ones that are out there that didn't get as much play as the Nashville shooter. And we're going to get more and more and more of this. And the effect of this is going to be that the rest of us will not want to have anything to do with this, okay? And when these people are so like more marginalized than they are, they are going to lash out at the people that marginalized them, not the society that rejected what they've become, but the people who facilitated that transformation are going to be the next batch of folks that catch both barrels from these people, like literally. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen. So, you know, I'm not saying the country is going to break apart and all of Kurt's novels are 100% prophetic, but that piece, okay, that piece is real. There will be consequences to this. It's like I keep talking about. You try to deny consequences for individual action, and what you get is consequences writ large as a result of the damage that comes from that behavior. And this transgender thing is a perfect example of that. You will have major problems that arise from this. Major problems.
Well, we already do.
Nobody's even looking.
Yeah, we already do.
But this is nothing compared to what's coming in 15 years.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You know, these 10-year-olds that are getting puberty blockers and being essentially castrated when they're 25, what's that going to look like? You're out of school. You're past the point where you get coddled by, you know, faculty and staff. And then there's the support organization for the trans kids at State U, whatever. Then you graduate and you're in the real world. And everybody in the real world goes, ugh.
Well,
and
no,
you've done
not just
for 3 years
not
out of college.
Not just it's a very personal thing. I mean, I think the inability to actually have a meaningful connection with someone. I've seen a couple TikTok videos of guys who've had this bottom surgery, and they're absolutely physically destroyed, and yes, they can't have any sexual pleasure for the rest of their lives, and they're in their early 20s.
Yeah.
And it's just horrendous, the butchery yeah. that they've endured. And, you know, at 25, you don't even know what the rest of your life is going to look like, right? And so, like, you know, add 10 years to that, add 20 years to that, and why are they committing suicide at such astronomical rates? It's not because of social acceptance. It's because
no,
of the
it's
reality
about
of
hopelessness.
Hopelessness
yeah.
of what they've done to themselves, and no one advocated for them, and no one intervened.
That's
and so
right.
like these overwhelmingly, this is happening within families that have no boundaries, which for a child feels like no love. There has to be structure in order for there to be function. This is true in everything. You don't want to cross a bridge if it's structurally unsound. You don't want to live in a house if it's structurally unsound. You cannot hit a baseball if your shoulder is structurally unsound. And we have these kids.
Or if your baseball bat is made out of plastic.
If it's made out of plastic.
Right?
So like these children need structure. They need to know that they're, because that's what, how they feel secure, because that's what's safe. And they have none. And so
yeah.
then they feel completely unmoored. It's why kids join gangs, so that they feel strength and they have a structure and there's some kind of rules to live by. It's why kids go on online forums looking for people who will tell them, you know, usually older pedophiles telling them, oh, take the puberty blockers now so that we can keep you looking like a little boy or looking like a little girl. And then you don't ever grow up and mature. And so, and it's structurally unsound. A sound, you know, protected child does not seek that kind of validation. Now, a normal, vulnerable teenager will have these kind of insecurities. And a normal, vulnerable teenager is not left to their own devices and shouldn't be. Most of these kids, especially the girls, are on the autism spectrum or have some sort of emotional whatever and are easy prey to this. And parents, if they care at all about their kids, will not put up with this for a minute and should know what's going on online. I had a fit during COVID where these parents were like, my daughter's so depressed, I don't understand it. And then the parents were, you know, both out of the home, the child was left by themselves, an only child, was told that they couldn't socialize with anyone else because they might catch the plague. And they wonder why they're, it's your fault. This
yeah,
isn't the
absolutely.
culture's fault. This is your fault. You created this pathology in your child. No, you know, we don't put convicts in solitary confinement for a year or 2 years and then expect them not to be, go straight, stark raving mad. No, we know that that's what happens. And yet whole swaths of the culture did that with their own children and then want to blame somebody else for what happened. No, this is on you.
Yeah.
And so like we really, in all of these kind of toxic cultural trends have been born of absolute insanity. And it's all because parents want to belong and don't want to make a, and they want their children to like them more than they want their children to end up okay. The point of being a parent is that you've actually learned something and have been on the earth for more years. And then you know what it's like to go through a developmentally difficult time. But you want to be accepted by your peer group who are also all insane more than you want to do the, you know, engage with the truth. And so
well,
Bill,
and but where the cultural piece comes is you have people in these institutions who are able to set the narrative for that peer group. And that it's to sort of bring this back, because we're running out of time, to bring this back to like where we're coming from with this. Here is Bill Maher and Yuri Berliner was another example. Like, here are the people that are willing to say the quiet part out loud. Yeah, we're doing these things, right? Bill Maher's like, yeah, abortion's murder. I'm good with it, right? Mm-hmm. Yuri Berliner is like, yeah, we've run all the conservatives off of NPR and we're a left-wing propaganda shop. And yeah, that's probably why we've lost some of our audience, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, now, will Bill Maher be punished for saying what he said? You know, probably not, but he's already getting blowback. Yuri Berliner is probably out at NPR for having said it. You know, so there's various degrees of acceptance of saying the quiet part out loud. But the fact of the matter is, you're starting to see this in all of these different venues where the left totally controls these cultural institutions, all right? And has given up on the idea of, well, you know, we're going to be good stewards of this and maintain this thing, you know, for the good of all. No, they're now radical institutions that instead of preserving our culture are bent on transforming it. And so now you see these weird things that 15, 20 years ago would have been unheard of are practically mainstream, even though all of us reject it, right? Like the vast majority of Americans reject it. And yet we're having them put on us. And like this is an example of how, like how far gone the people that run these institutions are.
Yeah.
So with that, you know, food for thought, I guess. I'll go ahead and close this episode. Guys, like and share and subscribe, if you will. I think a really, really good idea would be to subscribe to the American Spectator, which is at spectator.org. One of the things that you get if you do that is you're able to read the serialized version of my new novel, King of the Jungle, that American Spectator subscribers get to see for free rather than buying it on Amazon, which is what everybody else has got to do. And you want to do this because it's a freaking great book. But in any event, check me out at, I'm at The Hayride on Twitter. Check Melissa out at Melissa Tweets on Twitter. And we'll see you next week here at The Spectator. Say goodbye, Melissa.
Goodbye, Melissa.